Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for the sermon today is the gospel reading, the same passage that Mr. Denning was just talking about from Luke chapter 5. Jesus calls some of his first disciples, Simon, Peter, James, and John. And of course, as he does this, he provides for them an amazing gift. He provides this miraculous catch of fish. The interesting thing about this, of course, is that the disciples end up leaving this gift behind. They walk away from it. And it just kind of reminds us as we reflect on this passage that God has given us a lot of amazing gifts too. But the most important gift that he has given is his son, Jesus Christ. This is our text. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, recently I had a phone conversation with my brother, my youngest brother, Alex. He is 10 years younger than me, and he is still in college in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and we don't talk nearly as often as we should. So it was really nice to talk to him and to get caught up on things. And in the midst of this conversation, he surprised me. He told me that he was wanting to come here to Hoyleton. He wants to come and visit because he hasn't seen our kids in a while and he just kind of misses us. And he's got this spring break coming up in a couple weeks. And it just so happens that Zoe's birthday happens to be the same time that he's off of school. So he's going to come out here. And I thought, wow, you know, that's really thoughtful of him. That's a really mature decision of his, you know? There's about 100 other things I'm sure he would rather be doing during his spring break, but he's gonna come out here and he's gonna spend it with us in rural southern Illinois. That's awesome. And you know, I have to give him some credit because I don't know that I would have been that mature and selfless when I was in college. If I had nieces or nephews to go and visit, I don't know that I would have made that same decision. So he gets a lot of credit from me. But I have to tell you, as his big brother, that it has not always been this way. Alex is the baby of the family. He is the traditional baby of the family. He was spoiled. When we were kids, there were so many things that he got away with that I would never have gotten away with. And there was constant times I would say, man, I can't believe he's acting this way or he's talking this way or whatever the case might be. I know some of you are smiling because you are also the baby in your family and you know exactly how this goes. So there was one day, I was in high school, and Alex must have been like 5 or 6 years old. And it was a Sunday, I remember that, because we had just come home from church. My dad decided to give us a rare treat. He was going to cook us a nice big brunch. And he didn't do that all very often, but this Sunday he did. And so we were sitting around the table, getting ready, and he's cooking, and he turns around. My dad brings out this big, giant, huge, colossal platter of bacon. And now, I just want to tell you, I'm not as cool as Mr. Denning. I don't have bacon to hand out to all of you after the sermon today. But he took that and he placed it right there on the kitchen table. Now, in our house, we had a rule. You were not allowed to dig into the food until everybody was sitting down and ready to eat. We weren't allowed to just wolf down the food before anybody else got there. But these were the days when rules were just suggestions for Alex. And so he immediately starts tearing into this bacon, this meat candy, you know? Well, he grabs a bite, and all of a sudden he's got this weird look on his face. And he takes that bacon out, he throws it back down on the plate, and he turns around and he goes, Dad, you gave me the wrong bacon! And then he stomps away. Rude, right? Baby of the family, gets away with murder, right? I never would have been able to talk to my dad that way. Now, I have to do a little bit of interpretation for you because what could possibly he have meant by wrong bacon? Is there such thing as wrong bacon? I think around here we understand anything that didn't come from the Hoffman supermarket might have been the wrong bacon. But Alex meant that he liked his bacon cooked crispy. and my dad did not cook it crispy enough for him. And I just remember thinking, how can you walk away from this big platter of bacon, this amazing gift? How could you possibly miss out on this just because it's not crispy enough for you? And so that's the message that I kind of took away from that. He missed out that day. He missed out because he was dissatisfied, because he was being a little selfish. And obviously he's matured a lot since then. We'll see what happens. I might cook him some bacon when he comes out to visit. I think in some ways we can all see ourselves acting like Alex sometimes. I mean, in the sense that maybe it has nothing to do with the way our food is being cooked, but you know, I think we've all been there. Discontent, spoiled, not really appreciating all the things that God gives to us in our lives. And to be honest, sometimes it is difficult. You know, we live in this cold, dark world of sin, and sometimes it really is hard to feel appreciative for the things we have. You know, just for example, take your livelihood, right? A lot of us work really hard. Sometimes you work long hours. Sometimes you just work extra hard, and it seems like there's not that much to show for it. Maybe the price of corn and beans is low. Maybe the price of milk is low. You just feel like you can't make ends meet, and what's the point of doing all this work? It's hard to feel appreciative of your job when those kinds of things happen. It's hard to feel content with your life when you are sick or when you're injured or when you're the one that has to take responsibility for taking care of a loved one who might be sick or injured. Right? There's so many different examples we could give, but I think we all get it, right? Because we've all been there. We know and understand as Christians that every single day is a gift from our Heavenly Father. But boy, there are some days when you wish you had the receipt for that gift, because then you could just kind of give it back and exchange it for something better, right? Something bigger, something greater, something more important than what you're currently doing. In our gospel reading today, Luke describes a really unique gift that Jesus gave to some of these first disciples. Right? A miracle, really. And that goes along very well with this whole theme of Epiphany, because once again, we see Jesus in this miracle, and we know that he is so much more than a human being. He is the divine Son of God. So in this passage, we see that a lot of other people have figured this out too. There's this big giant crowd, and they are all gathered together around the Lake of Gennesaret, which is just another name for the Sea of Galilee. And there's so many people there, Jesus isn't really able to be seen and heard by everybody. There's just this giant crowd on the shore, so he's got to go out onto a boat. He actually takes Simon Peter's boat, and he goes out, and he teaches from there. But then, when he's done teaching, he does something a little bit strange. He turns to Peter, and he says, "Put out into the deep, and let down your nets for a catch." Now, why is that strange? It's strange because Simon and his partners, James and John, and who else happened to be there, they had all been out all night long, right? These are professional fishermen. They knew what they were doing. They had been sitting there and sitting there and sitting there, and they hadn't caught a single thing, right? If you and I went out to the creek and went fishing and we didn't catch anything, no big deal, right? But for these guys, this was their livelihood. This was their job. This was how they made money. And so they were really frustrated, right? They decided to go back to the shore. They're already washing their nets, according to what Luke tells us. They've given up. They're tired. And I bet you the last thing that they wanted to hear from Jesus was, go back out into the deep water and try again. Let down your nets again. Now, Jesus has gained quite a reputation at this point. He's been doing a lot of teaching and healing. And so that's what Jesus tells him to do, and Simon is inclined to listen. Even though he, I'm sure, didn't want to do it, he listened to Jesus because he recognized that there was something different about him. So they go out, they let down the nets for the catch, and you can kind of envision the way that this scene would have unfolded from there, right? The splashing of the water all the way around the boat. Simon looks over the side, and he realizes the nets are filled with fish. They're trying to pull these nets overboard, and there's breaking that's happening. So he's calling over to the other boat, asking for help. Eventually, they got so many fish that both boats are starting to sink. And in the middle of all of this chaos and confusion, Simon looks to Jesus. He looks to Jesus, who has just given him this amazing gift. And he realizes that he's not worthy of it. Right? This was better than just a platter of bacon, right? This is like how Simon Peter's going to bring home the bacon. This is worth so much money. But he realizes that he's not worthy. So he says, "Depart from me, O Lord, I am a sinful man." He rejects the gift, not because he's being rude, right? Not because he's trying to tell Jesus, "You gave me the wrong bacon," but because he realizes that he has not earned this gift. Thankfully, Jesus doesn't listen to Simon's advice. He doesn't depart from him. He says, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." And once again, Peter leaves. He doesn't stomp away because he's trying to be rude, but he leaves. He leaves everything, the boats, the nets, the fish, all of it. Is he crazy? Why would he walk away from something so valuable? He does it because he realizes he has an even greater gift in Jesus himself. And so do we. You know, we've all been blessed so much. God has given us everything. He's given us our homes. He's given us our jobs and our families and the food that we eat and the air that we breathe. And he's given us this church. He's given us a place where we can worship him and be strengthened by his word and receive fellowship and support from all of these Christians all around us. He knows our needs. He provides for them all. But all of these things pale in comparison to the greatest thing that God ever gave, which was himself. God the Father sent his Son, Jesus, to come down from heaven, to bear the weight of our sin upon his shoulders, to die on the cross, to pay the price that we couldn't pay. And we are his by faith. Those who believe in Jesus Christ will live forever with him in his kingdom. There is literally no greater gift than that. We are forgiven in Christ. And that means that we're forgiven for all of those times when we don't receive his gifts faithfully, too. You know, when our arrogance gets in the way, Jesus steps in with his humility. When our selfishness and greed gets in the way, Jesus steps in with his generosity. Christ's great gift to us is eternal life, and as a Christian people, we receive that gift with faith and with joy. No matter how much our sinful nature tries to convince us sometimes that God's gifts to us aren't enough or that we need something more, no matter how much we might be tempted sometimes to yell at God and tell him, "You gave me the wrong bacon," no matter how much we might want to stomp away from him at times, faith in Jesus is what keeps us sitting at the table. And faith also allows us to have this attitude even when we're talking about not just the big things like life and salvation, but when we're talking about the little things too. When we're talking about the things that we own, the people that are all around us, the talents and abilities that we have, we can follow the example of Simon. We can fall down at Jesus' knees. We can call upon his name. We can realize that every single thing is a gift from him and him alone. Just like it says in the Article 1 of the first of the Creed in the Small Catechism. It says, "All this he does out of fatherly, divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in me." God truly does provide all of the good things that we experience in our everyday lives, but all of these things flow forth from the one most important gift, eternal life and salvation through his Son, Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is a gift that is worth way more than two big giant boatloads of fish. And dare I say, it's even better than bacon. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.